Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks.
Get off my shit.
Confessions of a Movie Snob.com.
Podcast. Want to make a podcast?
Yes, I want to make a podcast.
Yes, I want to make a podcast, too. So welcome to that podcast. This is the podcast. So what do I say? Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to that podcast. I am Aaron.
I'm Ethan. No, and the last show was that podcast.
The last show is not that podcast.
The show before that was that podcast.
Yeah,
so regardless, We've done that podcast.
So this is this podcast. And this podcast is Confessions of a Movie Snob. Happily, recently, now part of a wonderful new podcasting Geek Central network called the Nerdvana Network. It rules just like this show. So far, the Nerdvana Network consists of Confessions of a Movie Snob, which is this podcast. You know what it is if you're listening to it. It's also got Ethan's podcast, Gamers Haven Podcast, where they talk about tabletop gaming, role-playing games, cool shit like that. And now we got the Gamers Haven actual play is just kind of a subsidiary of Gamers Haven Podcast, right? It's not its own entity.
Yeah, it's sort of a subsidiary, but I mean, it's the Gamers Haven actual play. There's enough of it there for it to sort of merit its own listing, but mm-hmm. I mean.
So at this stage, but at this stage on the Nerdvana Network, there's just these two podcasts, whatever you want to call them. But there are a couple other things going on. We have my blog, Project Uncool.com, where I am documenting what I see as a transition into just being a little bit cooler person, a little bit more, I don't know, maybe a little bit more fashionable, a little bit more fit, just doing some more interesting things. And then there's your podcast, Why Not Write? What's that all about?
My blog, Why Not Write?
Son of a bitch. Your blog, Why Not Write?
Yeah, so you just want to turn everything into a podcast, that's fine, really.
That's what I do.
Why Not Write's a blog that I do that is encouraging me to write more and sort of get back into the groove of writing. So,
Now I do know that this network launch caused a bit of delay in you and getting some stuff written. I went frickin' 20 days without a post on Project Uncool, but I'm, kind of back in the swing now, finally. We got that going on. And then there's also your sister's, is it a blog? Is that what we're calling it? Costume Wrangler's Closet? No, it's not a blog. It's more of a store, isn't it?
Well, she has an Etsy store, and she has a Spoonflower store, and her actual site, CostumeWrangler.com, is sort of chronicling her creative process. So it's kind of a blog, kind of a store. So, but I've got it filed under sort of merchant things because she is making and selling stuff.
Okay.
We made arrangements. We're going to be adding soon. We're going to be adding Gamers Who Care, which is a charity site to the network that is all about supporting various charities and supporting anti-bullying in the name of gamers. So
that's cool.
Yes, and then we've got other projects in the works, and we're waiting on several moves to happen before we can really dive into a lot of that stuff.
It's all cool stuff, and it's kind of exciting. It's kind of fun to, I don't know about you, but I think it's kind of fun to be in on the ground level with two of the projects. There's these people that got all the.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fun to be part of the initial launch, I think. So that's cool. I like that. But yeah, there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff going up on there. Some of it we don't want to talk about yet, but some interesting stuff that's coming through the loop. Now, in terms of Nirvana, go ahead.
And you can be heard on the Truth in Comics podcast.
Truthful Comics podcast. I'm working on getting that. I'm working on getting that up on iTunes, but my co-host, whoever we want to call him, Manuel, has a wonky website that needs some serious overhaul before this could ever even possibly happen. But if you do want to listen to that, if you want to listen to that, look it up. It's on truthfulcomics.com. It's also on my Facebook page, and I do always share it on the Confessions page, and well, I'm sure we'll be sharing it on Nerdvana. But yeah, that's fun. I mean, it's kind of funny that comic books were kind of like one of the things that got me into podcasting, and especially with the Bag to Boardcast. And then, you know, I moved away from it, and wouldn't you know it, they grabbed me and pulled me back in, because I'm doing it. Don't get
me
wrong.
It's like the mafia.
Like just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. But, I love comic books. I like talking comic books, but I'm mostly on it to help them out, which is cool. I mean, it's fun to do. You know, I remember back in the day when I needed helping out, and now I am the master. So it's cool stuff. Cool stuff. But in terms of being a master, we do have this podcast. We're not just here to shill the other things, because we do have this project, which is, you know, near and dear to our hearts. Confessions of a Movie Snob, just two dorks talking about movies and all the different varying things about movies. Confessions of a Movie Snob. Tonight is going to be an interesting show. But yeah, tonight's show is going to be, I think it's going to be interesting. Who knows? It might fall flat on our faces, but it's unique. Because, you know, we've talked movie genres, we've talked directors, we've talked, you know, theoreticals, like what if we made a Justice League movie? We've talked all kinds of stuff. But tonight we're actually going to really seriously get into the, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for here? I mean, this is truly abstract, because we're not going to be talking about movies per se, but we are going to be talking movie posters, kind of like the marketing of it, and some of our favorite posters, and, you know, we'll probably get into other little things as we go through. But it should be interesting, and I do think that when we do get this posted, we're going to have to throw something up so they can see what we're talking about, because this is an oral thing right now, and we're going to be talking about something visual. But before we get into any of that, we do have a little segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. We call it news relevant to us geeks. As far as I know, we have just two little bits of news that we're going to get moving on and start talking about some posters. The first one, the big one, I actually did talk about it last Thursday on the Truthful Comics podcast, but it was the passing of legendary film critic Roger Ebert, which was really strange, because the very night before when we recorded our president's show, I talked about his leave of presence, I believe he called it, and his plans in the future, and his stepping away from at the movies, and, you know, things like that, and, you know, he was fucking dead the next day, and, you know, it actually was pretty shocking to me. It should have been, because the dude's had cancer for, you know, 10 years. And then, but, you know, there just seemed to, they're just, what with his plans and everything, there just didn't seem to be like a finality of all of it. But, you know, he unfortunately did end up passing away at the age of 70. I'm pretty bummed out about it, because, you know, other than, you know, personal friends of mine, he's the only critic I really paid any attention to, at least positive attention to. Like, I avoid Armand White like the plague, but he's the only one that I still kind of respected, and I think that, you know, he's kind of the last of a breed. You know, something that we're just not going to see anymore, and what with, you know, podcasts and internet shows and websites and stuff like that. I mean, he's kind of like one of the last old school film critics, and sucks to lose him. 70 years old. I know you weren't a huge fan of him. You know, I think you said last time you found him a bit schizophrenic. I can see where you're going, but, you know, I really enjoyed his, he did have a lot of passion for movies, you know, being a positive or negative passion, and that went a long way with me.
Yeah, so. He did. And, you know, there are a lot worse critics out there that are a heck of a lot more negative. It's a bummer that he died. You know, I mean, he was not doing well health wise, but he was in there until the last. I mean, like we talked about in the last show, he was very much, you know, he had stuff going on. You know, he was going to be doing stuff, and so I think he didn't, at least wasn't even obviously planning on expiring anytime soon. But apparently there were other plans there. So. You know, heart goes out to him, him and his family, obviously, but, you know, and he will be missed.
He will be missed. I mean, he's a, you know, I was seriously pretty bummed the fuck out about that. You know, for like a good day, I mean, it was nothing like, you know, Heath Ledger. That changed my fucking life. But, you know, this one made me kind of sad for a day. But, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad. But unfortunately, it happens. I guess on to where we'll call it much more positive news is something that is going to kind of pertain more to me than Ethan, and it's probably going to pertain more to Truthful Comics than, you know, necessarily Confessions of a Movie Snob. But it is something that I love, and it's something that's come up certainly on the show in the past before. But today, April 10th, 2013, marked the official announcement of the release of the third in the Batman Arkham series, Batman Arkham Origins. I believe it is scheduled and slated to come out on all the major platforms on, I want to say, October 30th, 2013. It's already available for pre-order. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I fucking love the first two. Granted, this one is being taken on by a different studio, but what I've seen, there's been a few screenshots, there's been a plot synopsis. I don't have any of this up in front of me. You guys can look it up if you want to. We're just going to – I'm shooting from the hip tonight. We're not going to be too goddamn prepared. But, yeah, I mean, there's a plot synopsis. There's some images. There's a new design of the bat suit, but it takes place before the previous Arkham games. You know, it's kind of like his beginning years as Batman and – you know, stuff like that. So it should be interesting because there were some questions that I kind of had what was going on in the Arkham games that didn't really get answered. And, you know, maybe an origin story can explain why things got the way that they did. But yeah, I'm big time looking forward to that. I loved the first two games and I've got nothing to think that I wouldn't love this one. I mean, you give me an inch, I talk about Batman on this show and this is a damn movie show. So I think I just proved that because this is a movie show and I'm talking about a comic book character in a video game. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Ethan doesn't really care. He's not into video games, but you know, he's heard the first two are good, if I remember correctly. I think that was his reaction.
Yeah, I've never played any of them. I'm not a huge video game guy, but I've watched you play some of it, and I've watched other people and seen some other people play it, and it was a lot of fun. It looked like it was a lot of fun, Splinter Cell, but with Batman, and I don't see how that could ever be wrong. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. I mean, that's exactly it. It's fun. I mean, there's all kinds. You can do as much or as little in it as you want. Everybody I've talked to that's got the Perfect Night achievement, it's where you do 100% of everything, and I'm one of the few people I know that have done that. But everybody agrees with me that, you know, yeah, the story that is in the game, the Joker, maybe Ra's al Ghul is the villain of it, but the real villain of the game is the Riddler. Motherfucker is a pain in the ass. I mean, you spend twice as much time taking care of, you know, his problems than you do what's going on in the story, but It's good. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope to see more as, you know, time goes by. So excited. I'm excited about that. But I guess I guess at this point we'll just move right on into the main topic discussion for tonight, where we're going to be talking about our favorite movie posters of all time. And like I keep saying, this is kind of strange because we're not talking movies themselves. We're talking, you know, movie posters. So, you know, theoretically, we could be talking movies that we hate, but we like the posters. I mean, I can't think of, like, any of those on my list, but, you know, there are some ones that, you know, that are, like, a genre, and they're not, you know, they're, like, movies in a genre that, you know, I've spoken of in the past that, you know that I like other movies better, but I just happen to like the poster. What is that clicking? Oh, do you hear that, too?
No.
Huh, weird. But, yeah. Movie posters, I mean, what can really be said about it? I mean, this is, you know, it's really getting into, like, you know, the artsy fartsy of it. I mean, you know, we're going to be betraying our, you know, artistic preferences here. I mean, I did notice that there were apparently two different kinds of posters that I liked when I was doing this. I like very simple posters and I like very busy posters. So it's kind of like somewhere in between. Now, I don't know about how it went for you, Ethan, but I do not remember the last time I had this much fun making a list. It was a fucking blast. I had so much fun.
For me, it was trying to think of good, memorable ones, you know, and I found myself going back and looking at some older ones and going, yeah, I did like that poster. That was a cool poster, that sort of thing. And I know what you mean, though, that, you know, simple posters and busy posters that sometimes, you know, some posters come out and it's just the, it's just, you know, sort of the average mundane, you know, everyday. Yeah. You got three faces or, you know, whatever dude standing in a field, whatever type of thing. And occasionally one comes out that's really, really interesting, and it can be really, really, I mean, one of mine is like probably the busiest poster you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But then you have ones that are incredibly simple where it's just, you know, it's a very simple image. It gets the point across, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're thinking about movie posters, you know, when you're driving by a billboard at, you know, 60 miles an hour, you're going to see that poster very briefly. It needs to really stick out and convey to you enough of the story enough of what it's about to catch your attention and make you remember it.
Okay.
And on the other hand, is you have these posters that you see at the movie theater where, you know, you're walking down the hallway, you're on your way to the movie, and it has to be catchy enough for you to stop and look at it for a second and go, oh, yeah, that looks pretty cool, you know. And there are some movies, you know, a lot of these days with the internet and all this out there, a lot of people see already know the movies they want to go see before they right. go see them. And there are very few times where you're walking through the movie theater or you're browsing online, whatever, where a movie poster is what catches your eye nowadays. But back in the day, that's all there was, you know.
That was. I do feel that, you know, I do feel the get off my lawn coming out of me in this episode.
Sure.
Because I do feel like this is a dying art form, you know, because, you know, look at, I mean, especially the movies that come out at the end of the year in the Oscar, you know, consideration time, like 9 out of 10 of the fucking posters are a headshot of the star. And that's boring. I mean, sometimes it's kind of neat. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, I guess, but, you know, it's just not interesting to me. You know, another poster that's Tom Cruise looking stoic. You know, mm-hmm. I need to get that shit on my wall. And it's also something that, you know, like, as much as, you know, I am probably 75% a home media viewer, you know, I mean, I probably see most of my movies mm-hmm. at home. I do kind of really, really, really hate, like, DVD cover art a lot. And it actually kind of pisses me off to the point
of... Me too. There are some movies that have come out that, you know, where the poster was really cool and they put out on DVD and the cover art, you're like, what the hell did they pick this for? What is this crap?
I have one of those on my list that, like, you know, it's one of my all-time favorite, you know, posters, and the DVD cover art just sucks. You know, I mean, it's a really cool, really well thought out poster, and then they pretty much took a photo and stuck it on the front of the DVD, and it pissed me off. But
yeah, the only one that immediately jumps to mind for me is it's a cheesetastic movie, but the movie Doom, very cheesy movie.
I remember the DVD art. I don't really remember the movie poster.
Well, the DVD art and you know, another good one to think of though is Jet Li's Hero.
Ah, okay, yeah, you're right.
The where they obviously photoshopped in the girl into the poster, and the poster originally just had Jet Li on it, and it just is so awful that I mean, if I would own a movie like that, I would like go and print out the cover I want and stick it in the DVD case so I don't have to look at that awful picture. But I remember, at least, you know, when we were kids, and I don't think it's not nearly as prevalent as it is now, because, I mean, now you've got the kids with all their crazy Justin Bieber and One Direction crap everywhere. But when we were kids, for us, it was movie posters. You know, you wanted to have that, you wanted that Jurassic Park poster on your wall. You wanted, you know,
Terminator
you wanted
2
that
poster.
Batman poster, yeah. Terminator 2, you know, but not anymore. You don't get that anymore, sadly. And there are some cool posters out now.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Oh, sure.
And I can talk because I did an internship at a movie marketing place out here, and I can tell you the hardest thing to get rid of, the hardest thing that that we had that was sent to us was large posters. And I'm not talking,
Yeah, and you're right. Well, these aren't bullshit posters. They were like The Dark Knight Rises and Spider-Man and
exactly.
Cool shit.
Well, and I'm not talking about, like, the Subway size poster. I'm talking your standard size movie one sheet posters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people just didn't want them, and it always blew my mind. I'm just like, when I was a kid, if I had this venue to me, my walls would be plastered with these things, you know.
Yeah, and I was just talking earlier that it's just not
that way anymore.
Yeah, I was talking earlier that, like, you know, once I get, you know, I want some serious wall landscape going on here, so I can just put up, you know, posters, and because I have way more posters now than I have walls, and I'd like to actually have, like, that real estate on my wall to, you know, kind of put up some of these, because there are some pretty badass posters out there. And, you know, I think that maybe you didn't think about it the same way I did, but we both sound kind of get off my lawn about this, because it's just sort of like, it's a matter of, I do think it was better when we were younger, you know, because, you know, I mean, you're right, and that's flabbergasting to me, because I remember I would take a movie poster, like when I was, like, you know, 12 years old, I would take a movie poster of a movie that I never fucking heard of, and I didn't care about, because it was a movie poster, and not being able to get rid of, like, some of the biggest posters of the biggest movies of the summer, just, that's just a foreign concept to me. I don't get it, because, you know, there's some great ones out there, some really super great ones out there.
And I can tell you, it's a when I had the job at the movie theater, and I was able to get those movie posters. Man, I had a bajillion of those things.
Oh yeah.
But the way I sort of attacked this list was, I didn't want to say, well, these are the movie posters that I like the best, or the movie posters that are for my favorite movies. Like, you know, I would totally have a movie poster for Blade Runner.
That's a good poster. That's Drusen, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's a good poster.
And, but then there are some posters where, you know, it's for a movie that I don't necessarily like, but it's a cool poster. And, sure. And I really wanted to come at this list not just doing posters for movies I like.
Yeah.
But posters that are like, hey, that was a cool poster. I remember that poster, and it's just really a well done one. So
sure.
And that's how I attack the list.
Yeah, I'm basically right there with you. I'm looking at my list. Yeah, I'm looking at my list, and there's not a movie on here that I would say that, you know, you're going to be like, really? You know, because I didn't think you hate that movie. But, you know, it was like I was saying before, you know, like, I'm going to be talking posters of directors that, you know, if you listen to my show, if you know me at all, you're going to know my preferences with said director. But, you know, it's not going to be that movie, because, you know, it's going to be a different poster altogether. And, you know, and same thing, like what I was saying with, I'm still Aaron, so there's going to be a comic book movie poster in here, but it's not going to be the one you think it's going to be. And it's kind of neat. I seriously had a blast putting this list together. So I say, let's just start talking about these, because I kind of want to see what, you know, like, kind of like where you came from on this, because I see where I came from. What's your number six, Ethan?
Well, looking into my number six is one that I had honestly forgotten about. And, you know, you're talking about simple posters and busy posters. This is a simple, busy poster.
A simple, busy poster.
Where you have a poster with, you know, the headshot of your main character, of the main actor in there. This is that, but it's also got over 1,000 pictures of him in there. It's the Truman Show poster.
That's a good poster. Yeah, it's not on my list, but I was thinking about that. Yeah, it's a good one.
And I remember when it came out, and I was actually working at the movie theater at the time, and I just thought, this was the teaser poster. This wasn't the poster they ended up going with. This is another one of those that they just didn't go with for, like, the DVD cover or the main poster or anything like that. And I was like, this is a really cool poster. You know, it has the whole poster is a collage.
Yeah.
If you step back, it's Jim Carrey. Yeah. But if you come in close, it's all small. It's all collage images. It's all mosaic images of him, of his character from the movie. And it's all kinds of scenes. It's scenes of him as in his childhood, that sort of thing. And it really encompasses what the movie is about, because the movie is about a show that's all about this kid's life, you know, about a hidden camera show following this person's life. And so he is the sum of all of these pictures, and obviously it's kind of a cheesy type of thing to say, but it's that's what it was. I mean, it was very much, this is what the movie is, and it's about this guy who's a show who all he is encompassed on this in this program or in these images. And it hit number six on my list, and I still think it's a really neat poster.
Yeah, that is a good poster. It's one I thought about, but I didn't put it up here because, you know, again, like, you know, I had such a good time making this one, but, you know, I didn't have problems with populating it at all. So, I mean, there was, I don't know. But it's cool. It's a good one. It's a good one. Moving on to my number six. Now, let's see if I'm gonna take Ethan and throw his ass in the Wayback Machine. He might remember this. He may not. But around the time that episode two came out and I was all like, you know, happy and giddy. Yay, Christopher fucking Lee is going to be in a Star Wars movie. And I was a big time contributor to, you know, theforce.net. And I was on there every day. And, you know, I had my professional account with them and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, a buddy of mine, and I can't remember his name, made a fan art poster of Star Wars Episode II, where he took a bunch of images that were like from Star Wars Insider and this and that and other movies and stuff, and he made what is, you know, what was called the "It's Shocking" poster of, you know, it had like, you know, a cover of the Christopher Lee image from you know, do you remember that, Ethan? It was a badass.
I do. It was done sort of in the 1950s or 50s style. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, you know, and it was all, you know, all sensational, and, you know, it has your question marks and stuff like that, and that's a style of poster I really dig. I mean, it's totally cheesy. I mean, it's pure fucking cheesy, but, you know, I do kind of like the oddball posters with the, you know, with the weird-ass taglines, and so, for my number six, I went ahead and I grabbed the poster from the 1970, Christopher fucking Lee movie, Taste the Blood of Dracula. Now, this one is known as the Drink a Pint of Blood a Day poster. I mean, it's a badass fucking poster. I mean, there's a picture of Christopher Lee and all of his wonderful Dracula, you know, glory. And there's literally blood running down the poster. Up at the top, it says Drink a Pint of Blood a Day. Warner Brothers presents a Hammer horror film, Taste the Blood of Dracula in Technicolor. And, you know, you're shirking, you know, heroin. And it's just one of those really fun fucking posters. And I really dig it. I think it's a good one. And this is one I've wanted for a while, and I never have gotten it, but this is one that would be so appropriate on my wall it isn't funny. Yeah, it's a good one.
It is a very appropriate poster, and it's literally covered in blood.
Yeah, there are literally blood is running down the poster. I love it. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's, you know, it's by far it's probably not the worst Christopher Lee Dracula movie, but it's probably second. It is a bad one, but I love the fucking poster, and, you know, this is one I'd love to have on my wall. So, yeah, Taste the Blood of Dracula 1970 is my number five, my number six. All righty, Ethan, what is your number five?
Well, my number five is much more recent than that. It's actually a poster that you turned me on to as one of your personal favorites of this film series, and when I was thinking of this this list, this came to mind, and I really, really dug it. And it was one of the sort of lesser posters that a lot of people sort of really didn't go nuts for. But it's the Bane Dark Knight Rises poster where he's walking away from the broken bat, broken Batman mask.
That one's hanging on my wall.
it is an awesome poster. It is very cool. It is. You know, we're talking sort of simple. It doesn't have any kind of, you know, oh, starring Christian Bale, or ooh, Tom Hardy as Bane, Christopher Nolan film. It's just a legend and Dark Knight Rises, summer 2012.
Fucking deal.
And yeah, it's one of those images of, it's one of those things that, you know what this is about. It's about Batman. Yes, Bane is in it, and yes, Bane breaks the bat. Done. And it's one of those posters that, as a comic book fan, you'll look at it and be like, I like this. And but even as a fan of the Batman movies, if you look at it, it looks really intriguing, because it's like, that's Batman's mask. It's all broken, and there's this big-ass dude walking away. If you don't know who Bane is, you're like, okay, I want to know more about this. Yeah. It's a cool poster, and you know, there's not a face on it at all. You know, I mean, it's Bane's back and the broken cowl, and that's it. I loved the balls of this poster. It's like, you know, we don't need a star to show it, because this to sell this, because it's Batman, because you know that you're going to go see it because it's Batman. So,
yeah.
But that was my number five.
It's a good one. And, you know, considering that I own two copies of this poster and a T-shirt and I was all about it, you might be shocked that it's not on my list. I do love this poster. I love it. It's a really nice poster. And I'm obviously do very much like The Dark Knight Rises and all that shit, but it had good posters. Ironically, mm-hmm. though, I think the worst poster is like the theatrical release poster, the flame bat with Batman standing there. I thought that was lame. I mean, that's like a DVD cover poster. It was fucking lame.
I agree. Yeah. It's like, you know, you could do some really cool visuals, and that Bane one is a cool visual.
Or the skyscape. If I did put a Dark Knight Rises one on here, it'd be the skyscape one of like the buildings making the bat symbol. That's a good one. There's also, I mean, it wasn't nearly as a wide release, but the Catwoman poster was pretty badass. You remember that one? It was. It was just her stand. I mean, you could pretty much see her from like the thighs down. You could see her boots, and she's standing on a batarang. I mean, it was a really cool, really simple poster. That would be an honorable mention, but, you know, yeah, I think that all the Dark Knight Rises posters are good. I have all of them except for that Catwoman one, but, you know, it's a good one. I like that one quite a bit. I imagine that you probably expected that one to show up on my list, but it just so happens that it didn't, so that's good.
I had not seen that poster, actually, that Catwoman one. That's a cool one.
Isn't it? That's a nice poster, and there's a bunch of them like that. I mean, there's a bunch of them like that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's a good one. But as far as my number five goes, in the same vein, but it's not a comic book movie, but it is certainly a very comic book-themed poster. I would not be too damn surprised if this showed up on Ethan's list, but it's going to be the first. I'm not really looking at the list, but the first, maybe the last, poster by legendary poster artist Drew Struzan. It's the Mallrats poster. That's a great fucking poster. Say what you will about the movie, but it's a badass poster. I mean, it looks like a comic book cover. You got LaFour's there. You got, you know, Stan the fucking man Lee off there in the corner. You have Jason Lee standing in his hero pose. You know, you see Jay and Silent Bob on there. You see Ethan Suplee. It's a nice, good comic book looking poster. Very colorful. Looks like a, you know, looks like a comic book cover, superhero anatomy, topless fortune telling, bunny bashing, and more. It's a damn good poster. And, you know, this is one of those ones that I was talking about where, you know, I've made it pretty damn clear on this show that, you know, my favorite Kevin Smith flick is, you know, Clerks 2. Poster sucked, but I loved the Mallrats poster. And this is one that I'd like to have on my wall, but I don't. So, yeah, my number five favorite poster, Mallrats.
Yeah, we can't really talk about movie posters and not talk about Drew Struzan. I mean, the guy's done all of the iconic posters that we all know and love, you know.
Sure.
He's done others since this, several.
Sure. He did all the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, all the Star Wars prequels. He did one for The Mist. I mean, he's got certain directors that really just love to basically say – yeah, we'll have to have their posters done by this guy. And Mallrats is a special one, is a cool one, because, you know, Mallrats was the first studio film that Kevin Smith did, and they didn't let him have a lot of creative control, and except for the poster. And so he said, well, I want Drew Struzan to do my poster. And he's so like, they got...
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like one of those, like one of his first, you know, like, you know, the studio's really chapping his ass because they attacked his ass about the poster because all these people you don't know. And he's all like, motherfucker, I wanted something that looks good on my office wall. And, you know, I mean, you know, maybe it doesn't sell the movie too well, but it's a damn good looking poster. And God damn it, if I saw this and I didn't know what it was, it would catch my eye and I would pick up the DVD and like, what's this? And be like, oh,
exactly.
Cool. Or, you know, I mean, that to me is a good poster. And it just shows the talent of Drew Struzan. I mean, as far as art goes, you know, the only art I really understand is movies, and I understand podcasting, kinda, but, like, art I don't get, but it's a pretty big frickin' name if Drew Struzan can reach me, because, you know, like, I'll take one look at the poster, and I'll know it's him. So, yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah,
it's a great one. So,
it's good stuff. Definitely good stuff. I guess we're to my number four. And my number four is for a movie that I have no idea if I like this movie because it's not out yet. It's just a really cool poster, and I mean, it's sort of it's a poster that goes more towards me as a person and the type of things that I like. And yes, it's for a comic book movie. It's the Wolverine or the Wolverine teaser poster that came out. And it's done in sort of this Japanese calligraphy ink painting style. And I've always loved those type of paintings. And the fact that, one, I like that style. And two, this is fucking Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Pretty much just guaranteed to me that this was going to be on my list at some point. I love the character Wolverine. He's a fun character. Not my personal favorite, but I do love the movies, actually. But this poster is just so cool. And it,
you saw the trailer, right?
The trailer for this one? No, I haven't actually seen
Yet. You should watch that. It's good. It's an interesting trailer. We won't get into it, but we are definitely going to be talking about that on Truthful Comics next time we're on there. So, but yeah, this is a nice one. This is a nice one, yeah.
I just think it's a really cool poster and sort of evokes that, you know, for those comic book fans who know that story of Wolverine in Japan, that it's like, hey, sweet, I know exactly what they're going for this. And I just think it's a sweet poster. So beyond that, I can't really get much into it. I mean, I just think it's a cool poster.
Yeah, for all we know, the movie might blow, but it's a...
But the poster's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is one that snuck up on me. I'd seen it before now, you know, absolutely, but I was in the theater watching something, and I just saw it. I'm all like, huh, I haven't seen that before. That's pretty fucking cool. It's a nice, it's a good poster. I mean, I'm not sure I'd want it on my wall. I mean, that's not really, like, my favorite style of art, but it certainly is, like, a very, that's a very simple poster, very clean poster. Okay, at this point, my number four...
Yes.
Yeah, at this point, we're going to be moving on to my number four. My number four is one of the ones that surprised me only a little bit, you know, because I do have a process when I'm making a list for anything, you know, where, like, it kind of goes through my, you know, it kind of goes through my brain of, you know, okay, what are my favorite movies? You know, does this apply, yes or no? And, you know, so I'm like, okay, what are my favorite movies? All right, I like Batman Begins a lot, okay? So, boom, okay, wait, I do like that poster a lot. And then I'm like, wait a minute, comic book posters. Actually, there's a comic book poster that I like a hell of a lot more than that. And it isn't even a, you know, it isn't even a Batman poster. Hell, it's not even DC, it's a Marvel poster. This is one that a lot of people are going to know, but it's a special edition poster from Captain America First Avenger, commonly known as the Hitler Punch poster. I understand this poster is it was a it was kind of a giveaway on the set. This isn't something that you can buy. I've looked a little bit. It doesn't strike me as something that you can buy online or in the stores or anything, but it's a really fun 1940s style pulp poster, but it is, you know, for Captain America the First Avenger. You know, it's got forefront on the poster is, you know, Cap just punching fucking Hitler in the face, and then, you know, you got all your principles up.
There's nothing wrong with punching Hitler in the face.
I mean, you got all your principal stars up above that. You know, you got a nice oversized villain head up in the corner. You have the really nice, you know, flowy 40s font on there. Captain America, the First Avenger, starring Chris Evans and Hugo Weaving. And it's a cool-ass poster. It's one I really dig a lot. Oh, down at the bottom, you know, there's the Howling Commandos, and it's like, you know, and featuring the Howling Commandos. And it's a cool-ass poster. I really like it a lot. And this is one that if I could find, it would certainly be on my wall. And I do think the Captain America is amongst my least favorite of the Marvel movies, but I love the shit out of this poster, and it's a good one. It's a real good one, so I picked it for my number four. This is one you've seen,
and
before,
it's
right?
Yeah, it's number eight on my list. Actually, okay. I love that poster. It very much, you know, screams at the comic book fan in me, and also that movie fan, because you know, it really evokes that 1940s era. A poster that you get, and yeah, that's an awesome poster, and totally. I remember you finding that that image and posting that, and basically we were both like, fuck man, I would buy that poster, and why isn't that the poster for the movie, god damn it. But we also understand that it, you know, people would be like, eh. But it was cool. I do love it.
See, and again, yeah, you know, get off my lawn and all that. Because if you remember right, there's this poster which fucking rocks, and then there's, and do you remember that fan made poster of him standing with the on the with the with the sunrise and the heater shield on it? That was a badass poster. And the one that came out sucks. It's just him standing there, and he's not even holding the shield right. He doesn't even have his helmet on. He just sucks. So I mean, knowing that this poster's out there, this is an official poster made by these people. Really sucks that this wasn't utilized more to me. I mean, it'd be one thing if this were a fan poster, but it's not. This was, you know, made by the studio people, and it strikes me as it was made as a joke, but it's badass. So I picked it for my number three. I like it a lot. I like it a
it's a great, it's a good poster. It's a good poster. It very much evoked to me, reminded me of the Rocketeer posters, you know. I mean,
talking a bit with Manuel about this topic earlier, and he did bring up the Rocketeer, so. And yeah, I think that's it. Is like you said that this this you know kind of like screamed at the comic book fan in you, not me. This screamed at the classics movie fan in me, and I was all about this one. I loved this one. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Your number two already?
We are to my number three.
Oh, you're number three. Okay. So okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's all good. Well, my number three is reaching back into the past, into the 1950s. I had to go with an iconic one because it's a movie I really thoroughly enjoy, and it you know spawned all kinds of pop culture craziness. It's the Forbidden Planet poster.
Beautiful poster. Not on my list, but it's a beautiful poster. I'm fully aware of that one.
It's obviously a very nostalgic poster. It's got Robbie the Robot on there holding the damsel in distress, a scene that's nowhere in the movie. But in the 1950s, it's also, you know, you see this poster and you're like, ooh, hey, this looks pretty cool. You know, even today I see this poster and I'm like, that looks actually like a lot of fun. And because, I mean, it's one of those old style art pieces that really, you know, just this image is very, very, you know, evocative of the pulp type of science fiction comics and magazines from the 1930s. It's like, you know, what is going on here? It's like this amazing background going with all these planets and, you know, this planetscape and this robot's carrying this woman. What's going on? You know, and it definitely is one that I think would just grab people and thrust them into this into wanting to see what this movie was. And it's certainly one of my favorite movies, and it's certainly obviously one of my favorite posters. So
yeah,
Forbidden Planet.
That's a very good one. It's a very good one. Okay, at this point we're going to be moving on to my number three. So I decided to reach into my childhood and grab myself a iconic one that I love, one that takes me back to the days of running around with my mom's vacuum cleaner strapped to my back, pretending like I was a Ghostbuster. I grabbed the Ghostbusters poster, but this isn't the theatrical poster. If I remember right, the theatrical poster had the four, or maybe even the three primary Ghostbusters, you know, in their costumes and, you know, stuff in the background. I'm talking the simple black poster with the crossed out ghost. And it's one of those ones that's just really evocative to me. I mean, I see that and it takes me back to those days. It's simple. I mean, again, I mean, this is one that, like, you could have zero English on it, and you could show it to anybody, and they're going to know what it is. And that's an effective poster. Everybody knows the Ghostbuster symbol, and it means a lot to me. So I picked that one as my number three.
Yeah. It's definitely one. It's definitely a classic poster. I love it. It's very it is one of those things where you can say, you know, sometimes you don't need the star on the poster. You don't need anything like that. And you know, this one, like the Jurassic Park poster, is another one that comes to mind. It's very simple. It's the movie's logo, you know, and that's really all you need. When you've got gold, it's that don't fix it if it ain't broke, you know. And it's like here it is, guys, and there you have it. You don't. This is an image that that will always will always know what it is, and will always, you know, be able to tell you, dude, that's from the Ghostbusters, that movie from the 80s, and it's awesome. So
yeah. It's not a great poster. Yeah, great one. I mean, that's one of those ones great that one. You've seen zillions of, you know, T-shirts and bumper stickers, and it's a good one. I mean, I wonder if we're kind of getting to the point where we're moving away from movies and logos, you know? I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, Batman, you know, like the 1989 one, you know, that fucking logo everywhere. And, you know, like Ghostbusters, fucking, you know, all these. And then, you know, now it's, you know, a picture of Tom Cruise or whomever. And that's going to be too bad if we move away from that because, you know, sometimes simple is good. So, yeah,
I think the last one that really comes to mind as far as a logo, a movie with a very discernible logo that immediately comes to mind is Hellboy.
Yeah.
So beyond that, though,
But again, the poster had the principles on it. I mean, you know, I don't think that we live in a world anymore where a studio would have the balls to release actually, you know what? I'm lying because the second Hunger Games poster is, just the logo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good thing. So maybe we're getting back there. But, yeah, I like that simplicity. And, I like that, brand recognition that we get snapped up there on that poster.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Well, moving to my number two poster is – and you knew this was going to come up here. It's the Jaws poster. An iconic poster that they riffed, three more times basically. For the next three movies, and it's this, and it's that very, it's the obviously naked swimmer swimming at the middle of the frame and middle of the poster, and then there's Jaws, the shark coming up from beneath her, and
it's a big fucking big darn shark, yeah,
big fucking shark in there, and gruesome, nasty looking teeth. You know, I remember this poster. I've seeing this poster. It's just a very visceral, vicious looking poster. But there's no blood. There's nothing in there. But it definitely gets you. Well, that girl is screwed. Type of thing in there. And then you see the movie, and you're like, "Yep, okay then." And you know, this pretty much right here. This is pretty much an illustration of the opening scene of the movie. You know, and there you have it. You know, you see this poster, you know immediately it's about a shark that is attacking people. That is, you know, it's very clearly some sort of a thriller. And, you know, Jaws is obviously this huge movie icon now. And this movie and this poster is still to this day is utilized in all sorts of media. People riff on it all the time. So.
I mean, think about that movie. Think about all the iconography that's permeated our pop culture just from that movie. I mean, you got the...
We're going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat. You got the fucking music. You've got the poster. You know, you've got, let me see you smile, you son of a bitch. And, you know, you got the comparing, battle scars stuff. And I mean, I love this movie. And it's kind of interesting to think about, like, all the iconography that snuck in on us from it. It's just a movie about a shark. You know, it's just a shark picture. But, you know, it's influenced us.
It's a monster movie.
Yeah, it's a monster movie. But yeah, it's a great one. It's a great one. Okay, now we're moving on to my number two. My number two, you knew that this was coming in some permutation or another, and I had to, this is another one, to where, I was like, okay, and my favorite movie from this director is, and I had that one on my list for about 3 seconds. I'm like, no, there's a poster I like much better from said director's filmography. Obviously, I'm talking Tarantino. And I decided to actually go with the Kill Bill Volume 1 poster. Now, this is a specific poster because, this is a, what is that, a 2008, 9, whatever release, and so there's a zillion fucking posters. The specific one I'm talking about, it's a picture of, the bride and just the sword, and there's a, she's holding a handkerchief, and it says Kill Bill on, and there's Kanji, and it says Uma Thurman, Kill Bill, the fourth film by Quentin Tarantino. Now, to look at the poster, you might be like, okay, that's a cool poster, that's not a cool poster, or what have you. But that's not really what it is. I mean, you really have to see this poster in person to really get it. Like the silver of the blade is actually a foil. on the poster. And so it's, you know, it's actually shiny. It's, you know, it actually stands out from the rest of the poster. The handkerchief is like kind of like it's almost like a velvet. I mean, it's textured. Like the Kill Bill on the handkerchief, that red Kill Bill down there, it's also kind of textured. I mean, it's a really cool poster. This isn't a flat poster. You know, it's got the different layers on it. It's got the different materials. It's also just a fucking nice looking poster, I think, and it's my favorite poster that, you know, that's been in a Tarantino flick so far. And this is one that just pains me isn't on my wall, because it's fucking hard to find. It's not hard to find a print, but it's very hard to find the Mylar with like the different textures and stuff on it. And that's one that if I had, I would actually go out of my way to get myself a light box. I mean, because it's just such a nice poster. So I picked it from number two. Yeah. I love it that much.
It's a very cool poster, actually. Yeah. I like those movies. Yeah, that is one I was familiar with. It was one of the ones that came up while I was looking around, and it's a cool poster. I like it. But it's, you know, it's a very cool poster. I don't have much of anything else to say about it. It's a cool poster.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, and again, guys, I mean, if you guys are looking at this, if you're seeing it on our page or whatever, you know, don't think that I'm some kind of fucking idiot. I mean, actually, you know, see if you can find a way to see the actual poster. I mean, it's a work of art, and that's kind of what I'm getting at here is, you know, almost it seems like most fucking posters these days suck, and go figure that, like, my favorite working director, you know, puts out this badass poster. So it made me very happy. So it's my number two. It's my number two.
All righty. So I guess we're getting to my number one. Now, this is a poster that I'm sure everyone who is alive then will remember this poster. It is I think it is an iconic poster. It's very, very simple, yet tells the whole story. It's the Star Wars Episode I Phantom Menace teaser poster with Jake Lloyd standing and giving off the shadow of Darth Vader.
Pretty badass. I like that one.
I love this poster. You know, say what you will about
the movie. I got that somewhere. So I don't know where, but I have that one somewhere.
Yeah. Say what you will about the movie. Say what you will about the prequel trilogy. Don't give a crap what people say. When this poster came out, you remember absolutely how excited we were.
Oh, you remember that?
You saw this poster and it was, you know, I got butterflies in my stomach. I was like, oh my God, we're getting a new Star Wars movie. And this, you know, we're going to learn more about Darth Vader. And all from this picture of this kid that you didn't recognize.
Looking at his feet.
Looking at his feet, giving off a shadow of Darth Vader. And you were like, I wanted this poster, and I bought it. Actually, I had it for a long time. I don't know what happened to it. I don't have it anymore.
Maybe you gave it to me. I think it was. I have no idea.
Maybe
I have no idea where I got mine. I just know I have it somewhere. But yeah, it's a nice one. It's a real nice one. Yeah,
it's a great poster. It's very very much a poster that just nails it for me, and that's why it hit my number one is. You have this this great image on there, I think, and I remember when the actual movie poster came out, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Actually, I like the teaser poster better.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I thought that the Phantom Menace, like, you know, theatrical poster fucking rocked too. But
it was a good poster.
I think it fucking rocked. But this one was so simple in its elegance, you know. The Phantom Menace poster was, you know, it was like a goddamn rock star. But like this poster was like Dylan, you know. I mean, it was just perfect. Yeah. It was perfect in its simplicity.
It just nailed it. It nailed it. You know, it was. I entirely would have been happy if this was just the only poster they put out for it. Obviously, we got cool posters from it.
Yeah.
You know, the actual one is very cool, but this one just, I was like, perfect. This is just great. It tells you everything you need to know.
And it's also kind of, you know, it's something that I thought was kind of badass, but like when they finally released these movies on Blu-ray, the nice like 9-disc set with all the movies, you know, the DVD cover, which by the way, thank Christ they didn't fuck up the cover art on the Star Wars DVDs.
Yeah. Right?
They did on the single releases that came out as the movies came out. Those blue, they made me want to kill people. But like on the DVD, they're fucking gorgeous. And that one is very evocative of it because it was Luke and Jake Lloyd kind of standing there, and it looks like all nice and oil painty, and it's a badass one. Yeah, I like this one a lot. Yeah, we can honorable mention it. Maybe it brings up too much from you, but I did like the episode 2 teaser poster as well. It was Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen back to back. It said, "A Jedi shall not know anger, hatred, or love." It was simple. I liked that one quite a bit. I liked that one. No, but the Phantom Menace, that one is a badass poster. Yeah, good choice, Ethan. I'm proud of you for picking that. My number one is obviously going to be the Empire Strikes Back poster. Now, it's going to be an obviously because, of course, it is because it's your favorite fucking movie, you jackass. But no, it isn't. I mean, that isn't what it is about it. You know, for me, I don't think that – I mean, unless you could figure out a way to get, like, boobs and Joseph Gordon-Levitt in this poster, I don't think there could be a movie poster that speaks to Aaron Hoover more than this one does. I mean, first off, it's Star Wars, so rock on. You know me, I like some Star Wars. And then there's all the iconic cinematic imagery in there. You know, it's a single poster, yet it harkens back to it's the one I'm talking about. The specific one I'm talking about is known as the Gone with the Wind poster. It's on the wall behind me right now. I love this poster. Mm-hmm. And it's the big sweeping image of Han and Leia kissing. That's first and foremost on the poster, and that's obviously very evocative of the Gone with the Wind poster. And then you get more into it. I mean, you need to know a little bit more about film than your average stooge, because you have that, and then you have in the forefront you have Luke on his tauntaun with the steam coming out of his mouth because it looks like smoke, and that's actually evocative of the Rebel Without a Cause poster. And you have and you have R2 and 3PO and Chewbacca back in the background, standing there side by side, and that's evocative of the fucking Hidden Fortress poster. And then you have Darth Vader looming over everything in the background and fading away, and wouldn't you know it, that's evocative of the Third Man poster. Then you have the TIE fighters off in the background, flying across the thing, and wouldn't you know it, that's evocative of the Wings poster. I mean, this is a work of beauty. It's a work of art. I would have this hanging on my wall if I fucking hated this movie, but it is a gorgeous poster, and this is not Drew Struzan. I mean, that's one of the things that it was funny. I was talking to Manuel earlier, and he's all like, my number one would be a tie for all of the Drew Struzan Star Wars posters. I'm like, yeah, those are all badass, but the best poster ever made wasn't Drew Struzan, and it's the Star Wars poster. And he's like, fuck, you're right. But I'm in love with this poster, and I don't know if you knew it was going to be my number one, but you probably knew it was going to be on my list, but I had to get it on. Oh, man, it's a beautiful poster. I love that one so much.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when we set up the office at my old house, I ordered this poster, and I ordered the Seven Samurai poster for Ethan, and I ordered something for the Fifth Element poster. And, so I've had this for 3 years now, and it's on my wall still, and I still look at it, and I'm all like, fuck, that's a nice poster. So, yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. So, yeah, that's my number one favorite poster ever. And
it's a good poster.
Oh man,
it's a good one. And I actually honestly think it's the best Star Wars poster. As far as definitely with the original trilogy, obviously we both ended up with Star Wars posters as our number one. But I obviously like the teaser one for Episode One the best. But this is definitely this was a theatrical one, or was this just theatrical? One of the various theatrical ones?
It was a various theatrical. The theatrical one, if you remember right, was the one. It was kind of like a star field, and Darth Vader's face was in the background. And there's some shit. I mean, it was all right. But this one kicks its ass. This is a badass poster.
I think of definitely of the original Star Wars posters, it's definitely my personal favorite. Great. It's a great choice, and it's a great poster. It's definitely one of those iconic ones, and totally, I like how you dissected that down for Gone with the Wind and A Third Man, all that. It's great stuff.
I mean, that's what I fucking love about it, is it's, you know, it's Empire, so, you know, it's fucking orgasm for Aaron, but then you get into all that other film history that, you know, that I just eat up, and it's just all like, holy shit, did they make a poster for me when I was a year old, knowing who I was going to become when I was in my 20s? I mean, it's just such an amazing poster, and yeah, I love it. It's my favorite poster, and this is like, you know, like, I've been moving around a lot because of job loss and stuff, and, you know, like, you know, there's Poof, and, you know, there's the family, and there's my bed, and then there's my Star Wars poster. I mean, that's home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's on the wall, you know, I know I'm home. So, yeah, I love this poster, and, yeah, I mean, we can get into the artsy-fartsy of it, but it's one of those things that I personally really like. It's like one of my favorite things I own. I mean, it's that big of a deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
It's a great one.
Yeah, I love it, obviously. I just talked about a fucking poster for, like, ever. But, yeah, my number one favorite poster is that Empire poster. So at this point, why don't we do our rundown, and we'll stick a fork in this bitch. How's that sound, Ethan?
Sounds good to me. My number 10 is the Pulp Fiction poster.
Nice poster.
Uma Thurman. Yeah. It's a good one. I really enjoy it. My number nine is the big fuck you poster. It's Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull poster.
That's a nice poster. That's such
how
a
cool
nice...
was it to see that poster? Come on.
Oh yeah, but so. It's also a it's a first off it's Drew Struzan, yeah. But uh-huh. It's a nice poster. I mean, I like the iconography of the skulls on there. It's a great poster, and people can hate it all they fucking want, but, you know, fuck them. It's a great poster.
Exactly. As I said, it's my fuck you number nine right there. My number eight is that Captain America cast promo poster that you did, that you had on your list. My number seven is actually the Face Off poster. From the Nicolas Cage. I don't know why I like that one. I just did.
Is that the same as the DVD case? It's just kind of both their faces kind of superimposed side by side?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all right.
I liked it a lot. My number six is the Truman Show. Number five, the Dark Knight Rises Bane poster. Number four is the Wolverine teaser poster. Number three, the Forbidden Planet poster. Number two, Jaws poster. And number one was the Star Wars Episode I, the Phantom Menace teaser poster.
Very, very good. Okay, my number 10. This is one that, you know, although it's a honorable mention, I would be pleased if people actually looked it up to see what I'm talking about. But it is the Friday the 13th Part 4, the Final Chapter poster. This is one that's very evocative of the simplicity that I'm talking about. Black background, Jason's mask, bunch of blood, knife in the eye. Friday the 13th, the Final Chapter. Cool. It's a nice fucking poster. I mean, actually, it's a damn good movie, too, but I love that poster. It's a badass poster. And then number nine, I don't remember the year, 28, maybe? But the Charlie Chaplin flick, The Kid. Again, you know, it's, if I remember right, it's called the Six Reels of Joy poster, I believe it is, because it's got the it's got Charlie Chaplin holding on to Jackie Cooper, and, you know, that in that just iconic image of them holding each other before the kid gets taken away, and, you know, but it's, you know, it's a 1920s poster, so it's hand painted. It's a gorgeous poster. I'd love to have an original, but it's probably thousands of dollars. And And then my number eight is a super duper duper fun one. I'm surprised it didn't come up, but it's the I don't know the year, but it's the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman poster. You know, the movie itself, you know, it's fun. You know, it's, you know, B movie glory, but it's a fucking blast. I mean, it's got the big ass woman, and, you know, it's the, oh, it's shocking and all that stuff, and it's a gorgeous poster. I love that one. And then my number seven is it's a poster I love. I love it a hell of a lot. It's also recently sat records as the movie poster going for the most amount of money of all time, $1.3 million. The original 1938 King Kong poster. It's the same thing that's on, like, the DVD, like that 10 DVD box art and stuff like that. Fucking cool poster, you know. It's got weird proportions and stuff like that, but nice looking poster. Then what we just went over. Number 6, Taste the Blood of Dracula. Number 5 was Mallrats. Number 4 was Captain America, that Cats promo one. Number 3, Ghostbusters. Number 2, Kill Bill Volume 1. And my number 1 favorite movie poster of all time was the Empire Strikes Back / Gone with the Wind poster. Yeah, so that's movie posters from us. I kind of had a feeling that this was going to be a fun list, and it was. I had a fucking blast with this one. I don't know about you, Ethan, but I had fun making the list. I had fun talking about it. I had fun describing the posters. I have a feeling that, like, the actual physical post of this that's up on the Confessions site is going to be fun, because we'll probably have to put some sort of scroller thingy bobber on there to where people can see what we're talking about. But I had fun with this one.
I could do that fairly easy. So.
Yep. It's a good one. It's a real good one. Okay. It's about time to stick a fork in this. Before we go bye-byes, what do we need to pimp? What do we need to shill? What do people need to check out? How do people help us keep the lights on, Ethan?
Well, if you're hit our website or hit nerdvananetwork.com, check our affiliates. We have various links all over the site for things like Hulu Plus and Amazon.com. And what we ask is, especially for things like Amazon.com, is just come through our website, hit the link, and then do your shopping. We get a little bit of a commission off of that, and that helps keep the lights on.
If they like any of these posters, go to our site, click on the Amazon link, and order the post. You know what? Any of the ones we're missing, contact us on Facebook. We'll give you an address you can send them to, and maybe give us a couple pennies per poster as well. That's a good one. What's coming up on Why Not Right?
I am, once I get, things situated here and there, I'll be moving here shortly, but, until then, a few things going in there. I'm going to be trying to transcribe some of my old stuff. Really what's going to be going on there in the next couple of weeks is just a lot of, sort of what I call the BS, which is,
I hate my life. I want to be moved.
Exactly. Type of thing. Now, I posted up on there a little bit about a character I created a long time ago called Massive Defender.
I saw that. I got a giggle out of that one.
That one's a lot of fun. I'll probably post up some more stuff over the next couple of days here and there. So really, it's nothing concrete set in there yet. So
cool. As far as Why Not Write goes, I think last week I said something about writing a review of a phone case that got sent to me. Yeah, I did actually end up getting it last Friday, and I'm going to be writing a review of it. Spoiler alert, I fucking love this case, and it's going to be a matter of me putting it down to words. I got that coming. I don't know if I've even told you about it, Ethan, but on Saturday, I started doing a juice cleanse. But it's not a juice cleanse, because I'm eating solid food still, but I'm supplementing my breakfast and my lunch and stuff like that with, like, some different vegetable juices. And, but I'm still eating, like, a good dinner with, like, a healthy dinner. And I'm going to be talking about that, because I am as flabbergasted as anybody else at how fucking well this works. I think I said something on a post about how, before I was doing this just last week, I would roll out of bed, need to drink a pot of coffee, and maybe 2 hours later I'm ready to attack the day. And now after I started doing this, I wake up just like bolt erect, both middle fingers up, just ready to kick the shit out of the day, and lots of energy. I mean, I sound like I'm on speed on this show tonight, but no, it's because I'm eating vegetables. I'm getting my fruits and vegetables and stuff, and it's giving me tons of energy. I've lost freaking 9 pounds in like 6 days from it. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, and it's really cool, and I'm going to be getting the progress up about that.
Cool.
Just stuff like that, I mean, that's what it is. It's a kind of an exciting time to be me, so I'm going to be writing an awful lot about stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. Episode 100 of the Gamers Haven podcast. Actually, that's going to be out already, isn't it? So that was the greatest episode ever. That was the greatest episode ever.
Yes, it was.
And that was the one that made us our first $1 million.
Yes.
It's great. It was a great episode. I don't really know what we got planned for next week. We got stuff figured out. I got actually a bunch of tentative shows on the line. It's just going to be a matter of doing it. But I think pretty soon I want Ethan and I to get back into the decades because we need to hit the 1960s. We've taken way too long of a break from that. So maybe we'll be doing that pretty soon. But we're going to be figuring all this out. But in the meantime, you know, check out my text reviews that I've been writing on confessionsofamoviesnob.com. So far, I have a review written for Pulp Fiction and Shaun of the Dead. And very soon, I will be having my third review coming out, and that's going to be my review of The Little Shop of Horrors, even though Ethan hates it. Good stuff going on there. And, just check us out on various places. We're all over the place online.
Yep, and I'll eventually start getting reviews up of my top five movies on there as well.
Good. I hope you do. I've been looking forward to that. So, special thank you, shout out to Robin for helping me with my copy editing, because as enthusiastic as I get, as verbally diarrhea as I have some pretty shitty grammar, especially when I write. And it's helping me look like I'm, literate and articulate. So thank you to Robin for her help with that. But and I don't have anything else unless you do, Ethan.
No, I think we are good to put a fork in this.
We can put a fork in this, but I just remember one more thing. It's going to take me real quick. I was digging through our FileZilla thing, and I found a ton of our missing episodes. So go back through our website. Go back through our old episodes, and some of the ones that weren't working before work again. Like I was very happy that I was able to re-listen to our initial show with Ed Douglas, our time travel episode with Monty Cook, our first episode with James Louder, where we did classic horror, still one of my favorite shows. We also had probably my top two or three favorite shows we've ever done was the film noir show that we did with John Rogers, and all these shows they've been
awesome.
They've been missing for months, but I found them, and the links work again. So absolutely check those out for, you know, Ethan and I with our squeaky voices back when before life killed us.
Yes.
But yeah, check that stuff out. It's cool that we found that again. We are sticking a fork in this bitch. So until next week, I am Aaron.
And I am Ethan.
And let your movie flag fly. Your geek flag fly.
Let your geek fly. Still, I know you just don't care. And I said, what about breakfast to Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. And as I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's one thing we got.
I remember the film, and as I recall, I think
was cut by Uncool Aaron.
Yeah! Woo-hoo!